If My Gospel is Hidden, Chapter 5, Part 2. This same theme emerges in the lives of two other brothers, Ishmael and Isaac, the sons of Abraham. Abraham and his wife Sarah were promised a son would be born to them, even though Sarah was barren. When Isaac, the promised child, did not seem to be forthcoming, Sarah gave her bondslave Hagar to Abraham as a surrogate to bear them a son. This was not God's plan. This was a scheme devised carnally by Sarah. Hagar bore Ishmael, but later Sarah gave birth to the promised child Isaac. Isaac was the child brought about by God's Spirit. Genesis 16:1-16, Genesis 21:1-14. Isaac was also a picture of the sacrifice God would provide mankind. Ishmael persecuted Isaac because Abraham loved Isaac more. Eventually, God told Abraham to cast out the bondwoman and her son, Genesis 21:10-12. The counterfeit of the flesh is always revealed for what it is when the true comes on the scene. The promise of God could not be brought about by any carnal effort or subject of man's moving, but only God's Spirit. The firstborn was rejected. In John 1:12-13, we see God's method and purpose in election. But as many as received him, to them he gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The above verse demonstrates God's way of doing things. He has an order and in a manner in which he creates and fulfills. This can be seen in every story in Scripture. So it is with the flesh and the spirit. The flesh comes first by an act of the flesh, but the spirit came about after, by God fulfilling his promise. An act of the spirit. The carnal man is rejected because the flesh cannot worship God in spirit and in truth. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The carnal man cannot act in faith, for faith is spiritual. Without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to please God. So again, we see the first cast off and the last affirmed by God. Isaac's sons were no different. Esau and Jacob were born to Rebekah, who also was barren, like Sarah. Isaac prayed for his wife to conceive, and God gave her twins. As the children began to grow in her womb, they struggled with one another. Rebekah questioned God because she feared they would kill each other before they were ever born. When Sarah inquired of God, God answered with a prophecy in Genesis 25:23. Rather, Rebekah inquired of God. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Literally, this prophecy spoke of Edom, the people who descended from Esau, and Israel, the descendants of Jacob. Spiritually, it spoke of the flesh and the spirit. The two nations and two manners of people are those of Esau and Jacob, the elder the flesh, and the younger the spirit. The prophecy was that the spirit would be stronger than the flesh, and that the flesh would one day serve the spirit. Esau is a picture of a carnal man in every way. He was born as a man of the field, a hunter and self-sufficient. He lived by the might of his own right arm. Jacob, however, was a quiet man who lived in tents. The spirit dwells in the tent of this body, as Paul referred to it, a quiet man indeed. 2 Corinthians 5:1-4. When these twins were born, they seemed to come out as one, with Jacob holding on to Esau's heel. They were like one man, flesh and spirit. Our spirits are attached to these bodies. Together, body and spirit make one living soul. There are plenty of other figures that mark these men for what they represent. For example, Esau despised his birthright. He traded it to Jacob for a pot of lentils. He traded something intangible and of great value for food to fill his belly. Esau eventually lost his father's blessing to Jacob. The Bible records how he sought for repentance of this with tears, but could find none. Hebrews 12:16-17. There is no repentance for the flesh. The spirit is destined for the birthright. It is the right of the last to be considered as first. Again, the first son is cast off and the second one accepted. All of these stories are true as they were recorded in the Bible, and they also contain great spiritual truths hidden from the carnal mind. They are pictures and prophecies of Adam and Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:44-50, Paul tells us that Adam, the first man, the carnal man, is rejected. Christ, the spiritual man, the last Adam, is accepted. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, so are those also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so are also those that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. There are many more illustrations along this vein. Jew and Gentile, for example. The Jews were the physical chosen people of God, but they were rejected for unbelief. They persecuted the child of promise, the second son, Jesus. They showed that they were of Adam, the flesh. The largely Gentile church received Jesus, but the Jews were blinded from the truth until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Luke 21-24. But just like their new bodies, like our new bodies, which came first, there is a promise that the Jew, just like our bodies, which came first, there is a promise that the Jew will be redeemed in the end times, just as our bodies will be redeemed in the resurrection. We will speak more on this in the chapter on Jew and Gentile, but for now we see it is written that God seeks to make one new man out of Jew and Gentile. The physical people of God and the spiritual people of God will one day be even one, even as our bodies and spirit will be as one. The first and the last will be one, even as Christ, who is the first and the last, Revelation 22:13, is one with his Father. This is a mystery. A second part of the theme, first and last, gives us another aspect of the same abstract as demonstrated in Matthew 20:16. So the last will be first and the first last, for many are be called, but few chosen. While this plays along the same lines as the earlier aspect, a second theme is added in Mark 9:33-35. He came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. What we have added is the concept of humility to achieve God's favor. If we want to be great in God's kingdom, we must humble ourselves and serve even as Christ served. God exalts those who humble themselves. God always brings down everyone who exalts themselves. Again, the last is considered first, and the first last. There is a third concept we should examine in first and last. It is the truth that God has ordered his pattern to reflect his will. In this we see that the temporary comes first because it is temporary. The last is eternal. In the Gospel of John, we can see this part of first and last demonstrated when Jesus turned water into wine. We'll start our examination in John 2:1-5. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Mary informed Jesus there was no wine for that wedding, but his answer was not one you might expect. When Jesus spoke of his hour, he wasn't speaking of whether or not it was time to do any miracles, as some suppose, for up to this point he had done none. He was speaking of the time of his death, as in John 7:28-30. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, You both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. Whenever Jesus spoke of this hour in Scripture, he was speaking of the time of his death. What did the time of his death have to do with wine? Wine is representative of his blood, as seen in Mark 14:20-25. As they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Having established the meaning of the wine and Jesus' hour, we can now see that this was the first miracle is revealed, a picture of Jesus as the Lamb of God. The next part of this chapter in John 2 shows us in figure how we are cleansed of sin by Jesus' blood and sacrifice, verses 6 through 8. And there were sent six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, Draw out now, and bear to the governor of the feast, and they bear it. Notice the water pots that Jesus chose for his water made wine. These were vessels used in the purification rites as prescribed of the law. If a person touched a dead body, or if they were deemed unclean for some reason, as pertaining to the law, they would go to the priest for help to be made clean according to the law. Leviticus 13:6. The priest would give them instructions concerning the washing and the accompanying ceremony. In these water pots, Jesus used to turn water into wine, we can see the blood of Jesus that purifies us from all of our sin according to the law. While the water washings of Leviticus in chapters 12 through 15 could cleanse a person ceremonially, Jesus' blood cleanses us in the reality of the Spirit as the true Lamb of God. It is this final part of the story that the Gospel of John in verses 9-11 that the concept of first and last is expressed. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worst. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. The ruler of the feast approached the bridegroom to comment on the good wine and remarked on how most men serve the best wine first. We know from Scripture that Jesus is often called the bridegroom, though he is not literally the bridegroom in this case. The bridegroom is still figurative Christ in this passage. The wine, as we have already discussed, was figurative of Christ's blood, and it is indeed the best wine. God did save it for last. The blood of animals could be seen as the wine that was worse or cheaper. The blood of animals only atoned for sin but once a year, which was a temporary measure of the law in dealing with the sin, and only symbolic. God saved the best wine for last, which cleanses us of our sin once and forever. Hebrews 9:7-15 speaks eloquently of the two wines or bloods of these two different testaments. But in the second year went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure of the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances, opposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, that's what you're called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. In this first miracle of Jesus, we see the man and his mission to shed his blood for mankind and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Once again, we see the concept of first and last reveal a precious truth about our Savior and our salvation. Whenever you go to study the Scripture, take this key with you. The Joseph Revelation. This concept of the last will be first and the first will be last is the key God uses to unlock his revelation within Scripture. We will find that in this day of famine for the Word of God, that God has appointed a Joseph over his goods, even as Pharaoh did in the book of Genesis. The Scriptures are indeed the cities for food, in which Joseph has stored grain against the time of famine. When the people cried for Pharaoh for food, in that famine he told them to go to Joseph. Joseph was the one Pharaoh appointed and was second only to Pharaoh as to the throne. Genesis 41-54. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all of the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, do what he saith to you to do. Jesus is the true Joseph. God has appointed him over all of his possessions. He is second only to the Father's very throne. He was exalted from prison as Joseph and became the highest in the land of Egypt himself, not being an Egyptian. Jesus was in death as a man and was exalted through the resurrection. He was not of this world, but was exalted above all the world to the right hand of the Father. Joseph correctly interpreted Pharaoh's dream for Egypt, even as Jesus interpreted God's will for the earth. As Pharaoh appointed Joseph, God appointed Jesus. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Pharaoh's dream. With this connection between Joseph as an allegory and the prophecy of Jesus established, let us examine the scriptures together where Joseph is concerned. We are told that Pharaoh had a dream. Genesis 41:1. And it came to pass at the end of the 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kind, fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kind came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kind on the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up on one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears blasted from the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke. And behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told him his dream. But there was none who could interpret them unto Pharaoh. All through his kingdom, Pharaoh searched for someone worthy to interpret his dream, but none could be found. Finally, his wine steward remembered Joseph had interpreted his dream while he was in prison. We will have more to say about this wine steward later, but suffice it to say for now that he who brought Joseph to Pharaoh's attention. The Bible speaks of another such search where Jesus is concerned. Revelations 4:1. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, that hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Notice the two, a dream involving 7 years and a book of 7 seals. A search is made to find someone able in both cases. Not a coincidence. It is Jesus who is appointed by God by proof of his worthiness. The same manner as Joseph was with Pharaoh. The plot thickens. Joseph interprets. Joseph is brought before Pharaoh and hears his dream. Now remember, it has a physical meaning for Pharaoh, but the spiritual meaning through Christ. Joseph tells Pharaoh, Genesis 41-25, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kind are 7 years. The 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the 7 thin and ill-favored kind that came after them are 7 years. And the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall rise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by the reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, because it is the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. The best place to start is with verse 32, when Joseph comments to Pharaoh that the dream is repeated twice, once with cattle and once with grain. He tells Pharaoh that the dream is one. Because the dream is repeated, it is certain. So says the law, the testimony of two is true. John 8:17, Matthew 18:16. These two are the physical and the spiritual. While the kine and the grain do speak of the goods of the land of Egypt, they also speak more in the spiritual sense. Kine are flesh. They stand for the physical meaning Pharaoh received. Grain is the word, which stands for the spiritual interpretation we receive. Also, 7 years later, also 7 years of plenty are a reference to the old covenant, and 7 years of famine are a reference to the new covenant. This is all a picture of the temporary versus the eternal. The things of the physical fills men's eyes, but the things of the spiritual seem to fleshly men to be nothing. Back in the days when God spoke audibly, when he spoke through the prophets and in mountains that quaked, there was no famine in the physical for hearing of his word. God spoke in many and various ways. But in these last days, through the revelation from God, though that revelation from God is changed in its character because of the change in covenant, it is the time of famine for those revelations. They are purely physical. Now in these last days, as the physical creation starts to wane, God speaks spiritually through his son Jesus. In the past, the voice was outside and in the visible with an obvious physical fulfillment. Now these same revelations speak to us on the inside through the invisible. God speaks through the Spirit. Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, in whom also he made the worlds. Pharaoh's dream is to us the testimony that the physical with its blessing is passing away. The time of plenty is over according to the flesh. The time of famine according to the flesh, this time of the physical's passing away, is the time of the beginning of spiritual revelation hidden from the foundation of the world and revealed only through Christ. The 7 years of plenty was a complete time of the physical's testimony. The 7 years of famine is the testimony of the physical decreases and the spiritual begins. The time of the spiritual increase is indeed the famine of the physical creation. Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us with all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us all the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. This concept is demonstrated dramatically in the testimony of John the Baptist. He may be considered the last of the Old Testament prophets until Christ. In John, we see the decrease of the physical revelation and the beginning of the spiritual as the forerunner to Christ. Jesus himself said of John, Matthew 11:9, "What went you out to see, a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I'll send my messenger before thy face, and he shall prepare thy way before me. Verily I say unto you, among them are not born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." In John we see the transition of one covenant to another, from the physical to the spiritual. No greater man than John was ever born of a woman. In other words, no one physically born of Adam was greater than John. But even those that are least in the kingdom of heaven, those born again of the Spirit, are greater than he. John's testimony was of the old covenant and outside him. Our testimony is the Holy Spirit inside us. In John, we see the passing of the physical, time of plenty, to the time of the spiritual, time of famine, which is the last days of creation. Jesus is the revelation of the spiritual. John's baptism was on the outside and one of water. Christ's baptism is on the inside and one of fire. In John's testimony, John 1:29, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. In John's testimony, we see the concept of the last will be first and the first will be last. John says, I come first, the physical, baptizing in water, and he comes after me, baptizing in fire, the spiritual, but he is preferred first. Soon after, when Jesus starts preaching, John's disciples complain to him. John explains, John 3:28, You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am set before him. Verse 29, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy. Joy therefore is fulfilled. Verse 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. 31, He that cometh is from above and above all, but that he is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. It wasn't long after this that John was imprisoned and beheaded. So we see through the testimony of the physical must soon cease when the spiritual arrives. As the testimony of the spiritual increases, the testimony of the physical decreases. Time of plenty and time of famine. Jesus has stored up in his word and in heaven the grain we need for this time of famine, which are in the last days of the physical. Even as Joseph said to Pharaoh, so Jesus was done. So Jesus has done. Genesis 41-33. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food these good years that come, and lay up the corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be up in store to the land against 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perishes not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, Can we find such a one as this man, of whom the Spirit of God is in? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. God did appoint such a man, this Jesus who is Christ. In the days of plenty, the people did not see their need for Joseph, just as the Jews did not see their need for a Redeemer in the Old Covenant. They could get a revelation without going through Jesus, just as the Egyptians could pick up food out of the fields without Joseph. But when the time of famine hit Egypt, and the people cried out to Pharaoh for food, he told them to go to Joseph, whom he had appointed. When anyone cries out now to God for sustenance, he tells them to go to Jesus, for he's the one I appointed. Hebrews 1:1. As Joseph stored up a fifth of the harvest in the cities for food during the time of plenty in Egypt, so Jesus has stored up the revelation of God's word to be distributed in this time of famine according to the Spirit. This is the time of spiritual revelation, and it always concerns Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:6, Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed it to them by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all the things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words of which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Through Christ we have a revelation now of that Spirit. We must go through Jesus to be fed of the heavenly storehouse in this carnal time of famine as this world passes away. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. John 14:6. And the Father is Spirit.